Ask, wish, will. Those are pretty good, pretty good words, pretty good actions, pretty good things. We finished up with Jude 1:20, and I wanted to start with that on this to finish out that lesson. Jude 1:20, but you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, both holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. It is true that we are saved by grace. It is true that we are saved by the blood. It is true that we ourselves could not contribute enough to our salvation to save us. Although God allowed us to take part in our own salvation, He did not make it to where He simply decreed that we would be saved and that we would look to Him and say, you know, that's pretty good offer right there. That's pretty great. I think I'll just accept it. See, He's always pushed personal responsibility. And if you know anything about the world, if you know anything about people, you'll know that the ones who hold themselves accountable and take personal responsibility, those are the type of people that make good friends. Those are the type of people that you would want around because you can trust those people because they realize that a personal sacrifice has to be made if anyone else is going to be in your life. Okay? And when He tells us, but you, beloved, He's pushing personal responsibility back on us there, building yourselves up on your most holy faith. See, He's saying that we're doing something that is causing our faith to grow. And if there's one thing that God expects from us, is growth. He truly does. He doesn't want you to sit here no more than you would want a child to... You know, one of the great things when you have a baby, a brand new baby, right? And you wrap them up real tight, right? Because they're used to being in that womb and that brings them comfort. And then you know what you do? You put that passy in their mouth, right? And that just quietens them and they just drift off to sleep and you can have some sanity for a few minutes, right? But once that child starts to get older and starts to walk around with that passy in their mouth, do you know what you do? Give me that thing. You don't need that thing, right? You know why? Because the mothers, the fathers, the people that love those children, they want them to grow. That's what God expects of you. Because it's dangerous to remain as a child, isn't it? Give me that passy. You don't need that thing, right? Then we let them have it when they go to sleep, so they'll go to sleep so we can go to sleep, right? But there comes a time when, you know, it just falls out and they don't worry about it anymore. You take it and you don't care about the passy. But God expects us to grow. He puts that on us. And so when we look at this scripture, He's telling us that we are building ourselves up on our most holy faith. And how the word that He puts in there is praying in the Holy Spirit. And that's an interesting concept to me because I thought my prayers were my prayers, right? If God wants us to grow, and He talks about how we grow in the faith, one of the things that He connects there is the Holy Spirit in prayer. And I think that's important for us to understand that God is showing us, and we have to have Scripture, right? We can't just close the Bible and run around and just pray and believe we're in the Spirit because we'd let our emotions take control. The Bible gives us boundaries. The Bible gives us the right and wrongs of God. The Bible gives us the mind of Christ, the things that He limited Himself to being on this earth, right? But when we build ourselves up on the faith, one of the things that God is showing us here that that Jude is writing about is we pray in the Holy Spirit. So, when you look up that word praying, and it's not the same word for prayer every time in Scripture, but in this place, it is. And when you look that word up, it's New Testament 43:36, and it means to ask, wish, or will. Right? So if you were going to build yourself up in your faith and God is saying that you pray, which means to ask, to wish, or to will, what would you think that would be the first thing, the foremost thing on your mind? Right? Well, I mean, look at the prayers that we offer up, right? Look at how we pray, who we pray about. All these things. And this is us. This is our part that we're bringing to this relationship. Because God said we're building ourselves up on our most holy faith. The faith is in Him. He has a part to play in this. We have a part to play in this. Praying is us asking, wishing, willing. But the Holy Spirit has a part to play in this. Right? And so when God is telling us that we're going to build ourselves up on our most holy faith, and He's talking about praying in the Holy Spirit, you would have to ask yourself, what is the first thing that would come to mind that we would ask, wish, will for if we're praying in the Holy Spirit to build our faith up to God? Well, He gives us the answer because, see, God is amazing how deep Scripture is. And if you do word studies, it can be boring, but this isn't a long one, and we don't tire people out with them. But if you dig into this word, praying, the next verse, the deeper, where this come from the wish, wish, will, come from, it come from this. Supplication, humble request, worship. See, did you see that coming? No, you didn't. You know why? Because when you pray, what are you praying about? Praying about the things you want, right? And that's what He says there. Ask, wish, will. And so when we do that, we pray about the things that we want. And I don't ever want to take away from the idea or the reason that we do pray about what we want. We want to ask, we want to wish, we want to will. We want to happen. God wants us to talk this stuff. It's like a child, right? When a child's growing up and they're about ready to make bad decisions, you want them to come to you and, you know, say, you know, I'm thinking about dropping out of high school, right? Or I'm thinking about taking the truck down the road for a spin. They say, well, wait a minute, you know, your licenses have been suspended, right? So you want them to tell you all the things that they want to do, that you want them to confide in you and to talk with you, right? So that you can, in your wisdom, you can help them make good choices. And so when we tell God the things that we want, right, one of the first things now remember, the Holy Spirit is involved, praying in the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is involved here. So one of the first things that the Holy Spirit wants you to understand that when you begin to pray, you should have a mindset of worship. And so when I begin to pray and I think about praying and meditating and things like that, that's not the first thing that comes to my mind. But God puts these two together. Why? Why does He put these two together? Why does He put the idea of you and the Holy Spirit of God? You would think that the prayers would be vastly different, and they are. And He brings those two together. Why would He do that? Right? Because when we think of prayer, ask, wish, will, right? That's what we do. But He brings the Holy Spirit in there, and He brings worship. First thing, worship. It's a humble request. It's not a demand. It's a humble request. Supplication, worship. Why does He bring these two together? It's part of our personal relationship. God does not want us to have a relationship with Him apart from one another or apart from a personal idea of a relationship. Do you understand? When you come to your mate, when you come to your friend, when you come to your mother or father, you come to your brother, when you come to someone that you trust and you try to work something out, that is a relationship. God is not telling you how to pray. God is not making you do certain things. He wants you to come as you to come to Him. But because we are coming before God Almighty, and this is one of the great things about the new covenant in His blood, is that we have the Holy Spirit of God to cleanse us and to make us come before that throne of grace. And one of the very first things, like I said, that the Holy Spirit says to make sure is on your mind when you're praying and building yourself up, worship. Why? Because we're dealing with God Almighty. This is not the guy upstairs. This is not the guy next door. This is not just a friend. He is God Almighty. And the Holy Spirit is there so that you do not forget that. Romans 8:26-27. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weakness. See, the Holy Spirit isn't just there just to make sure that you do the right thing and walking around and watching you, making sure that when you come before God that you bow your knee, right? Kicks your legs out from under you. He's not just there to bully you around. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weakness. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. So He's already telling us that ask, wish, will, building ourselves up in the most holy faith, if God was simply to look at that aspect of it and do the things that we want when we pray, then God, when we would see that it would be a very crooked house, wouldn't it? Can we admit that? If we left God out of the picture and He just said, you know, what can I do for you? He did that for a person. You remember that? Anybody know who that person was? Solomon. He come to him and he says, because of your father David, he said, ask and I will give to you. And it was amazed to me that he asked for wisdom. That would have been the furthest from my mind. Not now, but then, that would have been the furthest from my mind, wisdom. But he asked for wisdom. And so God gave to him what he wanted, right? What happened with Solomon's life? It was a train wreck. At the end, the Bible said that he departed from the living God and did not return because the hearts of women drew him away. That was his God. That was his worship. God come to him and says, what do you want? And see, I thought he made the right choice. But he did that because if you look at the answer and you look at him, he did that because that's what he needed to fulfill the position that he was in, but it's not what he really wanted. He probably should have said, and in my wisdom, I thought, gosh, as I've grown, hopefully, you look at Solomon, he asked for wisdom. I thought that was great, but what he should have said is he said, I want what you want. I want you to give me what you want me to have. Right? We should pray for us, we ought, but the Spirit Himself making intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And see, that should tell us right there, if somebody has to make an intercession, you know what an intercession is? Right? No, we're not going there. We're not doing that. Nope. Our dog got out yesterday, right? I went outside and let our little dog, little Pomeranian, little cute dog, right? Helicopter tail gets going like this when it sees people and she gets low to the ground, goes running. It's adorable, right? Forgot all about her. I don't know how that happened. I mean, we've had her for years and years and years, but yesterday my mind wasn't there. And then later on in the day, about 6 hours later, and this is terrible, we was wondering where our little dog was, right? So we posted it out, and it was turned into the pound by some nice people down there. So she's in puppy jail because she run off, right? it is. So, the dog thought it was a good idea to sniff and to go running off. Where did the dog find themselves? In jail, right? The puppy pound. The slammer, right? What does this say right here? The Holy Spirit makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. It was my will, right? Because I watch her and she starts getting too far to the property line. I'm like, Abigail, come on back. Why? Because it's my will that she doesn't get out there because I know what's out there. She doesn't. But she, every time, pushes her limits. Court makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. The reason the Spirit has to do that, because we're heading in a direction, trying for a direction, praying for a direction, thanking for a direction that's not in the will of God. And so the Holy Spirit has to make an intercession for us and say, nope. This is not going to happen. Right? Vehemently we would pray for something. But the Holy Spirit has to make intercession between us and God and says, this is not going to happen. And thank God that He does. Thank God that He does. Daniel prayed a lot of things. But I know he didn't pray for the lion's den, did he? And Paul didn't ask to be blinded. Yet these were in the will of God. Why was Paul blinded? Right? One was to show Paul that you were blind. You think you saw me, but you didn't. You were blinded. You thought you were walking in the right path. You had no idea where you were going, so I blinded you to show you my truth. Paul was also blinded so that when he came to other Christians, this was a man who had killed Christians. Paul was blinded and he was feeble and he was being led around. They wouldn't fear him. They would listen to him. Is listening to Paul a good thing? He wrote most of the New Testament. I would say it would be. So see, in God's wisdom, He blinded Paul. Paul would have never asked for that. Paul was asking that he would be successful on the road to Damascus. That didn't happen, did it? He was successful, but not in the way that he thought. Daniel, when he went into the lion's den, you know what that showed the king? It showed the king God Almighty. And see, God worked through that king. We wouldn't think that God would work through an evil Gentile king, but you know why he worked through an evil Gentile king? Because his people were present. That's why. And he was never going to leave his people alone. And God blessed that nation while Daniel was there. But not everybody. The satraps who lied to the king and said, you got to throw Daniel in the lion's den. Remember Joseph? Joseph said, you meant this for evil, but God meant it for good. Because you know what happened to Joseph when he ended up in the hole and they were going to leave him for dead? He ended up being second to the ruler and kingdom of Egypt. And when a famine hit the land, he brought his family in and he fed them. How amazing is God? You would not pray for this. I know I wouldn't pray for this. I would have never prayed to be cast into the lion's den or to be blinded. Yet in God's wisdom, that's what the will of God was. What we see what we want and know what we think is good. And it's easy to say we simply want the will of God done, but do we? Had Daniel known that his destiny was going to be cast into the lion's den with an uncertain future, because God did not owe him that deliverance, because you know how God truly delivers? We die into this world, brought into the next. So death is nothing to God. Daniel wanted the will of God done in his life, but when it opposed his will, you know what he did? He submitted. You know how hard that is? It's as easy as submitting to your parents. Pretty easy, right? No. It's as easy as submitting to one another, right? Not very fun, is it? I know it's not. It's as easy as submitting to the government. That's not easy, right? See, submission is not easy. We think because it's with God, it would be easy because this is a good thing that's happening. It's never easy. That's why the Holy Spirit is involved, to give us the strength to do this. See, our prayers are to learn and accept the will of God in our life. And it's also to accomplish that will of God in our life. Remember what I said? God doesn't expect us to remain children. He doesn't expect us to remain babies. He wants us to do something. He wants us to grow. He wants us to do something with what He has given us. And I thought when I was younger, oh my gosh, I don't want to be a preacher. Because I thought that was the only thing you could do, right? I was thinking and thinking, and I run across this little saying of a scripture. It was of all the things that we looked at, and I'll try to do a lesson on it, and I'll show you the picture that I took. But of all the things that we looked at, one of the smallest things I overlooked, right? Something that somebody did in the will of God that provided. It was amazing. But anyway, God wants us to do something. He doesn't want us just to know the will of God, but He wants us to accomplish that will in our life. Luke 11:1. Now it came to pass as He was praying in a certain place, when He ceased, that one of His disciples said to Him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught His disciples. Let me tell you something. These were Jews that had been under the law for their entire life. And these were people who were following Christ, who wanted a real relationship with God, right? Because the law and Christ and Him coming and doing these miracles, everything was changing right before their eyes. And they came to Him and said, Lord, teach us to pray. Oh my gosh, they should know how to pray, didn't they? Why would they ask, Lord, teach us to pray? Why would they ask this? They should know how to pray. And that should tell us right there that what's happening, the way that we pray, what God is looking for, what God is trying to accomplish, our minds aren't there. Because they saw Christ and they said, teach us how to pray that way. Did they hear what He prayed about? Did they see the miracles that were being done in his life? Did they associate those miracles with the time that Jesus spent in prayer? All of the answers are yes. And when they saw this, they wanted a part of this. They wanted that closeness with God. See, here's two times that we see the same people asking how to pray. Well, this is one time. What was the other time? They're asking Jesus, teach us how to pray, as we ask John to teach us how to pray. See, they'd asked two times. Now, did they think they weren't asking in the right way, that their prayers weren't being answered like they thought they were going to be? Or did they see Jesus as a fulfillment of things that God was trying to do? I don't know. But I've always thought that when I pray, I pray, right? But the people that teach us, that we listen to, they asked the Master, they said, teach me how to pray. Because see, if it was left up to me, the ask, wish, will, I would leave worship out of it. And that's the honest truth. That I would ask for me. And I'm not saying we shouldn't do that. He says, make your wishes known. But that's so that we can come together with God to understand His will and accomplish it in our life. If we're never honest with Him about the things that we want and the things that we're hoping for, He can never work through us. So why do we see these people? See, they didn't know what the will of God was. And you think, okay, well, I mean, I can see that. Here was Jesus performing miracles, and you have to understand, this came off of John the Baptist being beheaded. And you know what John the Baptist came off the heels of? And this was within the generation of the people that were watching, like our lives unfolding, like the Berlin Wall and the Cold War ending and things, the world wars ending and stuff as our life progresses. The John the Baptist come off of 400 years of silence. There was no prophet sent to Israel. 400 years. And here was John the Baptist. And then he was beheaded, and along came Jesus. Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. That's what John said. And you think, well, if I lived in that time, I wouldn't really know what the will of God is either, right? It makes sense. What's going on? Here's a man that's claiming he's the Son of God. Here's the man that's claiming he can forgive sins on earth. And he's laying hands on people and healing them. And you say, if I was there, I wouldn't know what's going on either. Let me ask you something. In our little world that we live in our little time frame, right? Do you know what's going on today? Does it make any sense to you? Do you see my point? If God's in control, He's always in control. But when we look around, it doesn't make sense to us. So we cannot discern and understand fully the will of God. That's why He asks. Teach us to pray. We want to understand the will of God. And so that piece I've been missing when you look at prayer. I want to understand the will of God. Not just what I want, not the ask, wish, will, but I want to bring worship into my prayer. I want to understand the will of God and accomplish it in my life. That's why they asked. God had been silent for about 400 years. And suddenly there was John the Baptist. There was the proclamation of the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. The beheading of John, and now following Jesus as a man more than just a prophet. This, they didn't understand. So they were asking, "What? Teach us how to pray. You're obviously a part of this movement. You're obviously from God. You show us. Because we can't even trust our own eyes now." No wonder people were confused and asked what to pray for. It's my last slide. Revelation 1:3. Blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written in it, for the time is near. Why would God say that the time is near when these words were written in 70 AD? See, He's talking about our life. See, those words mean nothing if they're not talked about in our life, if they're not mentioned in our life. We're reading Scripture, we're reading the book of Revelation. We don't say, well, that was just a history book back in 70 AD. We don't need to read it anymore. See, it's talking about our snippet of our life. We saw that in Sunday school this morning, right? talk to the Jews, then to the Gentiles, and then to us still. We still read that word. So when he says the time is near, he's talking about your life. See, what we pray for, what would we pray for after we die, right? God's talking about our prayers and all these things, but yet he's talking about this small little window that we have to pray. And so when we're praying, it's about what happens in our life, right? That's what we do. Because what do we pray for after we die? Nothing, right? So our prayers are limited to this time frame. But see, one of the things that we forget is some of the things that we do in our lifetime will bless the next generation. You see, the house that we bought, they got a dogwood, and it's in a terrible spot, but it's fine. The daughter gave it to them, and they planted it. And it grew, but now the people have moved and they don't get to enjoy that dogwood anymore. And it's beautiful, right? And my wife said, well, I guess we got to keep it now. She said, oh, honey, burn it to the ground. I don't care. She said, I'm just letting you know where it come from. Right? Yeah. So, but anyway, if we can understand that our prayers, our accomplishing the will of God might happen to take place after we die, that's foreign to us. Because when we pray, we only pray for ourselves, right? So start thinking of praying for the future. Start praying for souls. Start allowing us to be the seed that plants the tree that someone else can eat off of. Pretty amazing thought, isn't it? That's what Jesus did. He says, unless you eat of my body and drink of my blood, you won't have life in you. So he was the seed. See, the point of our prayers is focused on our life accomplishing His will. It's called our walk. And so one of the things we have to understand as we pray for the will of God in our life is that all the things that happen may not directly benefit us. And they may seem to harm us. Daniel going to the lion's den, that seemed pretty messed up, didn't it? But it didn't harm Daniel. It looked like it was going to, but it didn't. Daniel did die. Jesus was a wonderful teacher. He taught the love of God. He showed us things that people were missing. They took the humanity out of the Word of God, and they killed Him for it. It's called our walk. See, James 4, 14 through 15, whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. See, I told you this morning, I printed off the same amount of bulletins, right? And we barely had enough because I'm limiting God in my mind. I'm thinking that this Sunday is going to be like last Sunday. And you know why? Because I'm wrong. I'm always wrong when it comes to God. I mean, not about teaching. I'm just talking about my mindset. It's not His mindset. I have to struggle and fight to try to see things the way that He does. See, we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. He says, what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. But yet in that vapor, in that time that it passes away, look how mightily He uses us. You see, because this building that we're worshiping in was paid for by someone else so that we could be here today to worship. And we keep these doors open so people can keep coming in even after we pass on. Why? Because we're accomplishing the will of God in our life, and that is keeping the gospel message in the hearts of men. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or do that. So, we are to believe that we, better than Peter, James, and John, because these were the ones that said, Lord, teach us to pray. We believe better than them that we know how to pray for the will of God in this little tiny vapor that's our life. When we understand the accomplishments that God can have in our life through our prayers, that we start taking our prayers seriously, and we start including an aspect in our prayers that we may forget about, and that is the worship of Almighty God. God, I am here today. Use me. And if I have to be the seed, then bless that seed, right? And you know what happens with a seed? You put it in the ground, and it dies. But then it brings forth something that feeds or does something for somebody else. But we're so concerned about what we're going to do. I'm not saying you can't have life. Do you know how wonderful it is to see people that have been together for 20, 30, 40, 50 years. I know I make a lot of marriage jokes, but to be together with the same person for that long, but in the same turn, do you know how sad it would be one day when you roll over and that person's not there? But God knows all these things. It's not the end. It's not the end. The person that was there, they became a seed. They have fed you, and now it's your turn to feed someone else because you're going to become the seed next. Philippians 4, 6 through 7. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. That's not how I handle things, right? That's not how I see people handle things. When you become nervous and anxious, we don't go in prayer. We usually get erratic, we get loud, we get unreasonable. Those are the things that follow, not prayer, right? So a lot of learning there for me. With thanksgiving. Yeah, thanking God for a messed up situation that's ruining your day. No, that's not the first thought that comes to my mind. But see, that's why the Holy Spirit is involved, because He's saying, hold up, wait a minute. You might be the seed today, right? And somebody is watching what you're doing. Somebody is looking at you, right? Be the witness that Christ was when He was the seed. Let your request be known to God. I don't want this to happen. That's what happened with Jonah. Remember, we talked about this morning. He didn't want to go to Nineveh. And God said, okay. So he started running and a big fish swallowed him up. And then the Bible said God spoke to the fish. That amazes me. He said He spoke to the fish and that fish spit Jonah up. Jonah understood that God gave him a choice. He did, right? He didn't have to go to Nineveh, but if he didn't want to go to Nineveh, he ended up in the belly of a big fish. And so the big fish spit him out, and God said, what do you think now? See? You don't want to be in the belly of the big fish. Let's learn before we get into the belly of the big fish that the will of God is important in our life. And it's not always what we want. And that's what he says here. Make our request known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. See, we don't understand it. It doesn't make sense to us. The lines then, Paul being blinded, did not make sense to us. But look at all the things that were accomplished because of this. Well, guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. See, we have to be sure about this. We have to be absolutely sure, because Jude said that we are building ourselves up on our most holy faith by trusting in the will of God when we look around and it doesn't look like anything is happening. I tell you what's not happening is our prayers aren't maturing. You see, we say we trust God with our life, but then we're constantly trying to pray that our life be something different than it is. So which is it? Right? Can God use you in your life, or do you want your life changed so that you can show people God? I don't know. I guess it depends on the day, right? I guess it depends on how we feel. I know that I have good days and I have a lot of bad days, and it depends on how I feel. But in my life, I learned to accept the will of God. At one point in my life, I just sat down and said, okay, this is yours. And I never seen anything more amazing happen. Not that he owed me anything, right? And I don't expect that, but it did. And I learned the joy of accepting the will of God in my life. So how do we have peace and no anxiety if our requests are not granted? We have confidence in the will of God. That's how that happens. See, if we don't get what we want, but God gets what He wants, who are we going to be happy for? Happy for God, or upset that we didn't get what we wanted? See, we have confidence that the will of God is being done. I believe that was even mentioned this morning, right? That God is in control. How He works with us in this very special way to grow us is through our prayers. And in our prayers, we always have to let God know our heart, but understand that the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit of God, brings in that act of worship before us. And all this simply is a humble request to God. God said the Ninevites were going to fall. 30 days, 60 days, it was really quick, right? And they repented in sackcloth and ashes. They said, perhaps God will relent. He did relent, right? The Assyrians, who were part of the Ninevites, took over the northern kingdom of Israel. 10 tribes took them over, right? In all appearances, God blessed that nation. But do you know, with David and Bathsheba, he said, the child will die. And David went around in sackcloth and ashes and repented. And they asked him, why are you doing this? And he says, perhaps God will relent. He didn't relent. The child died. Don't expect the outcome what you want. Pray that the outcome of God happens. Because He's the one that has already run the battle, and He's won that great war. See, we walk around and we look and we think, guess what? Looks like Satan's winning, right? It looks like evil's winning. It looks like all this chaos is not going to make sense, and it's only going to get worse, right? Isn't that what it seems like? It's like people can't listen to common sense anymore. You try to talk to someone and they don't want to listen to you. And it just doesn't make sense, and it seems like all of that is winning. And we walk around defeated. We shouldn't be defeated. We should have confidence in the will of God, because you know one of the things that the will of God that is in the will of God, victory in His Son. And if you don't have confidence in everything else, know that Jesus will prevail. And if I give my life for that, then that's what I do. I'm not just talking about walking out here and dying. I'm talking about my life, everything, every aspect of my life. And so prayer helps me to mold every aspect of my life. I work on it. Day in and day out, meditating, praying, studying, failing, learning, growing. Right? Isn't that an amazing thing? And God is involved in doing all that so His will can be accomplished in these worthless hands. Right? Because when I die, all the things that I've really accomplished with these things, they'll be forgotten in 10 years, if it even takes that long. But spiritually, they'll last forever. Because He's getting the glory, not me. Nobody will ever remember me here. But hopefully this place will be here to remember God. Now the day of Pentecost happened. And Peter stood up and said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus for the remission of sin. He said, you will receive the gift of His Holy Spirit. All of the denominational world, all of people want to have their own spin on salvation. God is trying to save souls. And if His book is enough to show you the will of God, to show you success and failures, the man who said, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world, and as he was beheaded. Certainly God is able to tell you how to be saved. And as man wants their own will pushed to make it easier, more convenient for you, so you don't have to be inconvenienced, you don't really have to be affected personally, because nobody really wants me up in your business. Nobody really wants God into your secrets, right? No, that's not the kind of people that God wants. The kind of people that God wants, they want to accept the will. So when He says, repent and be baptized, you say, well, I should be baptized. I've never been baptized for the remission of sin. I remember a ceremony. I remember something, but no one ever told me that my sins were forgiven. And that the Holy Spirit would come and take up residence in me. And whatever I am is all because of God. I'm not the same person that I was that my wife met. I am a forgiven person. I'm saved by the blood of Christ because I listened and I obeyed. So what's your decision as we stand and as we sing our hymn of invitation?